on their own. Good morning, everybody. He's Lance Meadow. I'm John Schmelkes. Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. It's going to be a long day, Mr. Meadow. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, John. Good morning to you. And yes, it is going to be a very, very long day. And then we have a quick turnaround tomorrow morning.
Let me put it this way. Figure this game is going to start around 8:40. It's going to go, you got to figure, till midnight. Usually Monday Night Football goes about 3:20, I'd say is probably fair. We got a 2-hour postgame on the agenda. So in about, let's see, that's seven, about 17 hours from now, you'll be putting the finishing touches on the Giants-Vikings game, and then a short 7 hours after that is Big Blue Kickoff Live Tuesdays. How you doing, Lance?
Yeah, I had to spell it out and lay it out like that.
Oh, it's ugly.
It is. It's really scary based on the sound of it. My goodness. No sleep.
Now, did you watch any football yesterday?
I did.
Or were you too busy out
shopping? No, I was able to work the football around the shopping.
Okay.
We balance both. You know,
what do you?
Takes great talent to do that.
Did you see anything that impressed you?
Well, last night, the Broncos losing, I thought the Colts did an excellent job getting to Peyton Manning. I mean, that was the key. No team's been able to have that type of success rate. But they were all over Manning. They got him sacked. They forced him to cough up the football. You know, no team really has had the type of success rate that the Colts put together. And their offense performed very well. Andrew Luck was aggressive. He ran with the football, threw down the field. Supposedly, Reggie Wayne reports are saying he may have torn his ACL. So that's a big loss for them. But overall, you look at Indy won against Seattle, San Francisco, and Denver this season. That's not a bad resume to have this early in the year.
And I forget, they had one bad loss. I'm trying to remember who it was.
They lost
Brown,
to Miami.
Miami, that's who the bad loss was.
Which was a game they certainly could have won.
Yes. But, yeah, a very good win for them, certainly. The Jets are the big win over the New England Patriots, a big win. For once, two out of the three NFC East teams actually win. Of course, one loss because they lost to one of those fellow NFC East teams. So the NFC East actually showing a little bit of improvement in week number 7 in the National Football League. And the Giants will try to keep pace tomorrow. We'll go around the league a little bit later on in the show. We'll go through some of our picks. I think both of us were probably around 500 yesterday, give or take. But we will go and figure it out from there. 201-939-4513. We might as well start off on the phones, see what the Giant fans have to say about tonight's game. Let's start out with Maurice in Montclair. Maurice, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, bud?
Hey, Maurice.
Hey, I'm doing good. As you know, this is Big Blue Kickoff Live's own Mo Manning. So, hey, but to talk about tonight, man, I think that this long break that the Giants has is great for health. And I think that they needed this for their mental psyche. And I just want to know, guys, on how John Connor and guys like Beast and some of the new guys are going to do tonight, since they had such a long break and they could get acclimated to the system. And just give us some keys to victory tonight. And that's all I have today.
All right. Thanks, Maurice. Appreciate the call, man. And let's go through them for you real quick. One, on the injury stuff, let me just add this. From what I understand, a slight setback for Brandon Jacobs over the weekend, not practicing. We'll see if he can go tonight. If not, it'll be Peyton Hillis. After being here for less than a week, we'll have to figure out how to contribute tonight. And that obviously be a big challenge. And then Michael Cox will have to be force-fed. He's the guy that's been here the longest, knows the system. So we'll see if Brandon Jacobs will go tonight. I would consider that to be the big question mark in terms of injuries for the game this evening. In terms of the other guys, look, I talked to John Beeson. You can hear the interview on the Coors Light Giants game day tonight on WFAN, which comes your way at 7:10. Lance Meadow, myself, Paul Dottino, and Jeff Fiegel's on that program. And Beeson basically said, John, look, and by the way, he's a great guy. We have a chance. He's a tremendous guy. I know the system. The defense, he's got it. He's figured it out. He's learned it in less than 2 weeks, which is really amazing. And he's ready to go. And I think, Lance, you saw some decent plays last week. But more quietly, we did see John Connor make an impact in that running game, opening up some holes and doing a good job leading the way for Brandon Jacobs.
Well, John Connor was the X factor last week. Everybody looks at the offensive line, which has improved the last few weeks, and Brandon Jacobs' performance getting over the century mark. But the key was John Connor getting implemented into this offensive system and helping open up some holes for Brandon Jacobs. So that was a big reason why the running game was so effective. The fact that now he has an extra week under his belt, that should help. Also, David Boss is expected to return. Don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, considering how effective Jim Cordell has played. You don't really want to mess with the chemistry of this offensive line at this point.
And then you also have on the defensive side, Corey Webster might be making his way back. And back to the Connor thing as well, you have Connor at fullback. Then you get your best blocking tight end back on the offensive line by moving Bear Pascoe there, where he's much more effective as an inline blocker than as a lead blocker. So all around, these additions that Jerry Reese has made recently are paying some dividends.
We don't like to point to injuries as an excuse, but I think what we can point to is the fact that as they're getting healthier bodies back in the mix, the team's level of execution is improving. So that's not necessarily a coincidence. When you get a fullback back, that should help your running game. Once Heinoski went down, the running game was struggling for the most part because they didn't have another blocker to help out the O-line.
And he only played in what? 1.5 games, give or take. I think he got injured in the second game back, right, from then the injury?
Correct. And then you had a game of musical chairs with respect to the O-line because nobody was consistently healthy within that group. So now that you're seeing full health with respect to both of those facets, that clearly has been a big bonus to this team.
201-939-4513. Tim is in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Tim. Sorry about that. That was my fault.
You. I got a question for you. Where will the Giants finally get their first win tonight against the Vikings?
Well, thanks, Tim. And I guess we should answer the rest of Maurice's question before, too, which is what are our keys to the game tonight for the Giants to beat the Vikings? And look, I hate to make this simple, folks, but if the Giants can slow down Adrian Peterson, I have a hard time understanding how the Vikings are going to score enough points to win this game. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. They're ranked 31st. Only the Eagles are worse, and I just don't see how the Vikings win this game unless Adrian Peterson does it for them on the offensive side of the ball. Josh Freeman's been there less than 2 weeks, and I know he has some weapons. Simpson, Jennings, Rudolph, they're good players. I get that. But, Lance, can you see Freeman putting this team on his back and leading them to victory? I just don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening overnight either. I mean, clearly they could use some type of a spark, though, on offense, John. They haven't even had a 300-yard passer.
Right.
This offense is not necessarily explosive outside of Adrian Peterson. To me, I think it's more of what the Giants do being the key to this game. They protect the football, and I know we've been killing them about turnovers.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, because that's been the biggest element right now overshadowing this team.
Minus 16.
It's as simple as that. 17 turnovers alone for just Eli Manning, the 15 picks and the 2 fumbles. That is the most through the first 6 games in NFL history dating back to 1991.
Oh, that's a nice little nugget you got there.
Little taste of what you may get on the pregame show.
That's
by the way.
Nice nugget.
There we go.
How long did it take you to find that one?
Oh, no, we did a little homework. Not too long. I would say, you know, it was within the notes.
I think you pilfered that out of an article somewhere.
Well, of course. I mean, come on. I'm not going to be tallying all those
things.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, clearly I got all that free time on my hands. Remember, part of knowledge is 80% of where you can find it. Just a little stat over there.
You're like a guru now.
There we go. You know, we had some time to do some mathematical equations. But getting back to the point at hand, the Vikings are not necessarily an opportunistic defense. And they've given up 13 passing touchdowns. Honestly, on paper, I can't think of a juicier matchup for Eli Manning than any of the other previous opponents. John.
Maybe Philly? Well, in fairness, Carolina could have been one of those teams.
But Carolina had a more effective front 7 in terms of getting to the quarterback than Minnesota does. The Vikings only have 10 sacks. Their pass rush has been non-existent.
That's fair. And Jared Allen has not been as good as he has been in years past. We'll see if he can turn it on this week. It's a national game. You know, guys like him like to kind of step up and bring their A game in games like that. But I agree. To me, this is a – look, I don't want to use the expression. But I'll use it anyway. It's set up for a tailor-made Giant victory here. It really is.
I can't argue with that. The only way that I could see them screwing this up is shooting themselves in the foot, to be honest with you.
Penalties, protect your quarterback, don't do anything dumb, and you'll come down with a victory. It's that simple. 201-939-4513. Let's go to D down in Atlanta. D, what's going on, pal?
Not much, man. I just got one quick question.
Sure.
I've been trying to figure it out. Are we mathematically completely out of the playoffs, or is there – I mean, everybody keeps saying, I mean, watching TV, well, Giants are done. But do we still have a chance mathematically?
Well, the Cowboys are 4-3 in first place in this division. So if you get a win tonight, clearly, with only three games separating both teams, I mean, mathematically, they're very much alive. I would say the key, though, to getting into the playoffs, if there's any hope alive, and right now they just got to get that first win, D, is probably going to be via the division. I would say it's highly unlikely that you're going to be able to get two teams from the NFC East in the playoffs, meaning one wins the division and one represents a wild card. So at this point, if they're going to do any damage and regroup, they got to get on the winning streak, gain some momentum, and win within their division. But they are very much mathematically alive. Not easy, but definitely within the scheme.
Looks like we lost it there, D. If you want to give us a call back, feel free. Of course, they're mathematically alive, but they have six losses. So if you win 10 straight, you're going to be 10-6. And look, if I think if you put these guys, a few of them in the locker room on Truth Serum, I think they tell you they genuinely believe they can win 10 straight. Obviously, their play so far this year doesn't really give you any evidence to think they can do that. But you like the confidence, and it has to start somewhere. And this is something you've talked about a lot, Lance, the last 2-3 weeks. You got to get some positive feeling and some positive momentum here, and then who knows where it'll take you at some point, you know?
You have to be able to build off momentum, as I like to say it. And right now, I just don't see a lot of signs of momentum, other than the running game was a positive against Chicago, so you have something you can build off there. But, you know, the defense didn't force the Bears to punt until the third quarter. You know, they can't allow that to happen against Minnesota. This is a Vikings team desperate to gain some momentum right now. The last thing you want to do is give Josh Freeman some early boost so that he can get clicking and he can get going, considering he barely knows the offensive playbook at this point. The guy signed with the team less than 2 weeks ago. And Josh Freeman, I'm not overlooking him. He was a capable quarterback when he was with Tampa Bay, very up and down quarterback, but a big guy, can throw the deep ball.
Big arm.
Had a very good running game. He had Doug Martin in Tampa Bay. He's got Adrian Peterson here in Minnesota. So, you know, he can get things going. But you have to take into consideration that he hasn't had an opportunity to build much chemistry with his receivers and his running back. That should work to the advantage of the Giants, assuming that they can win the battle at the line of scrimmage.
I agree. Let's go to Twitter. This one coming in from @BarryHughes. Rams or Bears looking to trade for a quarterback? Not advocating. But what would Giants want slash need to trade Eli? They're not going to trade Eli Manning. And theoretically, if they ever would consider trading Eli Manning, a franchise quarterback, you're looking at, boy, I mean, how much did the Broncos get for Cutler? What, two ones?
I'd have to look that up. I don't
probably
remember exactly
what they got.
Probably
two ones and a two, I'd say, probably, right? And Eli certainly is a much better track record than him. I think you're looking at a minimum of three ones. And no team's going to do that, and the Giants are never going to consider trading him anyway. So the point really is moot when you think about it, to be quite honest with you.
Well, because they're not in a position where they need to stockpile on draft picks at this point, because this is not a rebuilding phase that the Giants are in. Even though they're 0-6, there's pieces here to still win. And Eli Manning has a lot of years ahead of him. My answer would be, if you're going to get rid of Eli Manning, how about naming a replacement? Find another guy to come in.
No, in fairness, Barry says he's not advocating it.
No, and I did see that tweet, but I'm saying that if you're going to get rid of him, you still need somebody to come in and play the quarterback position. Is that person right now on the roster?
Well, no. I think some Giant fans would say Ryan Nassib, but I'll make the point that I made last week, is the Giants didn't even think Ryan Nassib was ready to be Eli Manning's primary backup quarterback this year. That's why Curtis Painter's here. Then you're going to give him the keys to the car? You know what the equivalent of that is? Your kid is 15, doesn't even have his learner's permit. You're going to give him the keys to the Ferrari and say, have fun, son. Enjoy. You know how that's going to end?
Risky business.
Badly. It's going to end badly.
Before we get back to the phones, I looked up the Cutler deal.
Yeah, what
was
it?
Build some of a comparison. He was traded to the Bears along with a fifth-round pick in the 2009 NFL draft. The Broncos received Kyle Orton, the Bears' first and third round selections in 2009, and a first round pick in 2010.
So two ones and a three.
Correct.
And Orton. And Orton was their starter in Denver for a year, so that certainly counts for something, and a five going back the other way. So I think you'd be looking at three ones for Eli.
But that's why I threw out getting a quarterback in return.
Well, of course.
So you can buy yourself some time.
But look, and I don't know how long Cutler's going to be out. That was a groin injury. I don't know how serious that is, obviously.
But we know Bradford's going to miss plenty of time.
And it's funny, watching the play, it didn't look like it was anything that violent. It looked awkward, but it didn't look like his leg, you know, went sideways or anything. You could see on the Reggie Wayne injury, for example, that knee went in a direction it probably shouldn't have went. You could tell sometimes. That Bradford injury, though, to me, didn't look that violent.
I agree. He went down awkwardly, and then all of a sudden he was in aggravating pain.
Oh, he was hurting. No question about it. 201-939-4513. Ramesh is down in Virginia. Ramesh, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Ramesh. What's up?
Just had a comment. I think this is the week that the whole team, Eli, defense, you know, they're going to do good. They've had, like, a few days, extra days off, you know, to do to go back and, you know, relax, take some days off. And I think this is going to be the week that all the phases of the game for all the units are going to come together. And I think defense is going to make enough plays to stop Peterson. And Eli's going to have a good game, no turnovers. And I think we're going to put enough points, you know, to win the game. I just had one more question on Josh Freeman. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that he's prepared enough for this game? I know he had a, going back last year, he had a big game against us, against Tampa, you know, when he was with Tampa Bay.
That was week two, correct?
You think he can still have the same kind of game today? I know he's only been there like for what, a couple of weeks now. So
less than two weeks.
Just wanted to listen to your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what?
Hang up and listen to the show.
Thanks, Ramesh. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Give us a call back whenever you feel like it. It's going to be hard for him, despite the fact he's the same talented quarterback, big arm, big guy, just like Lance talked about before. A, he doesn't have a weapon quite as strong as Vincent Jackson that he had last year against the Giants. So Greg Jennings is a good player, but he's not Vincent Jackson. Same for Simpson. Kyle Rudolph, good player. No one quite is the deep threat Vincent Jackson. That's number one. Number two, I can't imagine that their full offensive package is going to be installed for him in this game. It's got to be a bit of a wait-and-see approach to see exactly what he's able to do, what he knows, and what plays they could run. And that will, theoretically, hamper their offense.
I think he's going to go off a feel. He's going to get a feel for this offense on the fly. Does he know some things? Absolutely. And you think about it, Matt Cassel and Christian Ponder have both struggled. So I don't think it was a matter of the Vikings saying, we're not going to put this quarterback out there unless he knows the playbook. I think it's a matter of saying we're not pleased with the production from our previous two quarterbacks, John. So in a sign of desperation, it can't hurt to throw Freeman out there even if he doesn't know the playbook.
Hey, look, Matt Cassel is what he is. He's a veteran backup quarterback that can manage a game, maybe win a couple for you over the course of the year. Sure. Christian Ponder is a guy that was a first-round pick. And quite frankly, when he was picked, a lot of people raised their eyebrows and was like, really, Christian Ponder there? Seriously? Is that what you guys really going to do here? You're going to pick that guy at 15th in the draft? Really? I don't think that's a good idea. And it doesn't look like it's a very good idea right now, to be quite honest with you. He doesn't have a big arm. His best attribute is his legs. He can run around a little bit. He's a good athlete, but he hasn't shown that he can be a good quarterback. And I think going with Freeman here is the Vikings' signal as an organization that they're punting and they don't believe in Christian Ponder as their future.
And there's a lot of pressure on the Vikings quarterback position this year, John, especially since the defense has fallen off tremendously.
I know, and they've really fallen off a cliff. Secondary especially. Look, Greenway still a good linebacker. E.J. Henderson still a good linebacker. You mentioned the pass rush isn't the same, but they still have a couple guys on that line like Jared Allen that can play a little bit. But their secondary, it stinks.
They're young, they're inexperienced, plus they're hampered by injuries. Losing their top safety is going to be a huge blow to them.
Harrison Smith.
Correct. That was their first-round pick out of Notre Dame.
Well, for some reason, last year, I called Jim Harrison like three times, and I don't know why. Just one of those things.
It's a popular name, Harrison Smith. It's one of those, you know, easy, mistakeable
names.
Well, he is.
Well, you know, let's say never trust a guy that has a last name for a first name.
I knew that was going to come up somehow. One of our good colleagues always says that.
Who?
Harron.
Oh, does he?
He always says that line. Always turns to that line.
Forgot, you know what? Now that you
it's
mentioned
like his favorite line.
Goldhammer did always say that. It's a good
always
point.
Always says that.
201-939-4513. Ernest is in Connecticut. Ernest, what's going on, pal?
Yes. There's one. Two questions that I want to ask.
Sure.
One. Do you think that David Wilson will get a chance to play again this year? Because I think that they're treating him unfairly. I know that he has a neck injury, but from what I've been reading from him, he says he feels fine and everything else, and he doesn't know why he's not playing. And the second question is, do you think that the Giants' season is over with?
All right, I guess we'll field the second one first, since that's an easy one. I mean, they're playing 10 more games. We have a job to do. We have a show to do here in the morning. So I'm not going to come out and say the Giants' season is over and there's no reason for Giant fans to watch the games. I'm not going to say that. Do they have a chance to make the playoffs? Sure. Is it an infinitesimal chance in the realm of 2 to 4%? Sure. But they have a shot. I mean, they only have 6 losses. If they have 7, if they have 9 or 10 losses, they don't have a different conversation. Is it going to be extremely difficult? Sure, but, you know, you can do evaluation now the last, you know, 10 games, whatever it is. That's number one. Number two on David Wilson. I don't think Lance and I can give you a good answer on whether or not David Wilson is going to play again this year. We're not doctors. I don't even think the doctors could give you a good answer at this point. And even though David Wilson doesn't feel anything, this is a neck injury. It's the spinal cord. It's an injury that the more severe version of it has ended careers like Michael Irvin, like Moose Johnston. Sterling Sharp, I believe, had a similar thing with the neck, if I recall. And this is a serious thing. And even though he doesn't feel anything, if he gets hit the wrong way, that's vertebrae or spinal cord has an issue. I mean, you're talking things like paralysis. These aren't things that you can mess around with, Ernest. So the doctors are doing the right thing. They're being cautious, and they're making sure that he is going to be safe and healthy long-term, not just as a football player, but as a human being and as a man.
Okay. That sounds right. Because I was wondering, but you know, what you're saying makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, Ernest, the other thing to keep in mind, piggybacking off of what John said, Mathias Kiwanuka, if you recall, a few years ago dealt with a neck injury, and they were not rushing him back because they had to get him prepared for the long term. And David Wilson is your long-term running back. You can't just think five games this season. You need to think 2-3 years down the road.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Thank you, Ernest.
Thank you.
You got it, Ernest.
Have a good one. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Stick on our phones. Let's go to Len down in Maryland. Len, how you doing, pal?
Hey, how are you?
Shouldn't you be on your way up here by now?
Yeah, you got a big ride ahead.
I got a 10:30 starting time. I think that's going to do it.
See, that's smart, Len. You build your schedule around Big Blue Kickoff Live. That's a very wise game plan.
Now, I have a question here, Len. What's your ritual here? Like, what time do you like to get to the parking lot? What's your tailgate like? Give us the Len from Maryland game day experience.
I will park in F.
Okay.
And I got some friends over in D who bring the stove. you know, we normally get over into D to do some tailgating.
How many people in your tailgate?
Tonight it looks like a sandwich night. We're going to hook up at probably at my car tonight. Still haven't made final arrangements on it. Usually, maybe 2.5 hours before game time. And
how many people?
Know, I get as close to the stadium as I can. You know, I want to get that feel. I want to get in there.
How many people, Len?
I'm sorry?
How many people in your tailgate?
Often about 10 to 12. Tonight it's going to be a little smaller. Actually, my two partners with my season tickets, one guy's son couldn't make it tonight, and the two ladies who share with us, my wife's friends, and mine too, coming down from Hopewell Junction. It's tough on a Monday night. So I got six. There'll be three of us there tonight, unfortunately, but we're gonna root them in. And can't wait.
All right, so here's what we're going to do, Len. We're going to have a promotional contest. Win three tickets to watch the game from Len and Marilyn. What do you think?
Hey, that would be great if I had my hands on them. I got two in Hopewell Junction and one right now in Jersey. But that would be fun.
Very
that
good,
would
Len.
Be fun. So, as long as they're Giants fans, because I have a rule with my two partners.
Oh.
If they can't go, it does not go to – team's fans. No, absolutely not.
I like it.
If that's the case, we eat the tickets.
Wow. So Len putting loyalty
over
above the ducats. I like that.
So that's the deal. Listen, the fellow who picked up the phone, he said, "What do you want to talk about?" I said, "Well, I got the formula for the win tonight." And obviously I don't because I'm 0-6, guys.
Well, no, Len, hold on a second. You might have the formula. Your formula might be right. It doesn't mean that the Giants follow your formula, so that's not necessarily your fault.
There you go. Well, you know, if we can stop Peterson. I said that earlier. We got to build on something. I want to build on the run defense. Shut down the run defense. Shut down the run with Peterson, especially early in the game. Put some helmets on them early in the game. A 50-yard field is better than a 30-yard field. A 70-yard field is better than a 50. An 80 is better than a 70. Field position is important. If Freeman's going to do some things, make him take it 80 yards instead of 50 yards. So I think field position is important. Limit the turnovers. I got that feeling. I told you the other day, I got my Bruno Marx
Mars. Mars left. Bruno Mars.
I actually put it on this morning, guys, so I'm ready to go. I'm hot for the game. Looking forward to it as always. It's going to be a terrific night. Weather's going to be good, and I think we're going to win this football game, guys.
All right, Len. Appreciate the call, pal. It's good to hear from Len in Maryland.
You should have told him that you're actually doing double duty tonight, working parking lot F. Aren't you directing cars into their various spots tonight?
I thought the staff is
a little low. Well, we thought that we'd add another role onto your job title.
I can throw you out in Plot Z. How about that?
Does Plot Z even exist?
Plot Z somewhere in Albany, New York.
Oh, really?
I think.
Wow. That's good to
know. No?
I'll get a head start now. What time is it here?
201-939-4513. Let's go to our buddy, Big Ed, down in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, good guys? Big Ed, Big John, Big Lance. Starting it off early. All right.
Long day, Big Ed. Long day.
I'm telling you, man. I am so telling you. I'm just in pre-game, early coffee, you know, cognac drinking, starting now. You know, soggies, you know, getting started here.
Nice.
Totally understandable. Totally
got to pace yourself, Big Ed.
Big Ed with the stogies at 9 in the morning.
Right. Hey, look. I can have the models coming over about 12.
Ah, very nice.
Now, male models, I'm assuming, right, Big Ed?
No, female models. Must wear bikinis.
Oh, okay.
Always in bikinis.
Special Big Ed dress code. You know what? You know, Big
That's
Ed, what
right.
I'm going to do? Big Ed, I'm going to call Ann in D.C. I'm going to see if she wants to come by and join you.
Look, I was thinking about Lynn. I was like, man, I wish I had Lynn's number. I could call him. I could ride up with him. I'd be driving. We'd be there by 2 o'clock.
Tag team effort.
Yeah.
That's right. Game team effort. You got it. Okay, guys. As far as the night goes, we got to control the tempo of the game. That's it. Keep their offense off the field. I don't care who they got. Keep their offense off the field. Keep the offense off the field. We keep running that running game, getting it reestablished. I know Bruce is a little hurt, but we're gonna work with it. We got to find something. Well, hopefully Michael Cox is some kind of ready if he's practiced all week. Hey, John, has he practiced all week? Has Michael Cox practiced at all?
Yeah, he's been out there on the practice field. It's just a matter of whether or not they trust him to execute the game plan on game day. And, frankly, they might not have a choice this week. I mean, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Peyton Hillis hasn't played football in 3 or 4 weeks. Even if he knows the system, how much can they even force-feed him the football? Look what happened last week. They had to run Brandon Jacobs 22 times, pulls a hamstring. Now he might not be available this week. So they're going to have to let Michael Cox do something.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, I don't think we can do any more free agents and running back, right? Can we get anybody if we could?
Well, I mean, You read the papers last week who the Giants brought in to work out, if the reports are accurate, the DJ Ware's the world, things like that. But, look, I mean, you can get bodies, but you're not getting game changers.
I know. And that's all we can do at this point because of the injuries. We had so many injuries that hurt us so bad. Oh, boy, it's been a tough season, y'all.
Really? Hang in there, Ed. Hang in there.
We are, man. We got to win tonight. Win tonight, we're going to be hanging fine. We even still got our shot at the playoffs. But we got to win a game. We got to win a game.
All right, Big Ed.
Win the game.
Thanks, bud.
All right, Big Ed.
We talk.
You got it.
Dave, you keep cutting people off, man. You got to listen to your headphones. You can't just cut people off in the middle. He did it to Big Ed.
Give the guy a break. He's got a marathon day as well.
I know.
We can all relate.
Well, maybe if Nele was here to help Matt a little bit, he would be able to do less than 2 things at once.
That would be a good point. Some people here don't necessarily have the same work ethic as others. We won't necessarily spell out the names, but...
Stand by for our web feed to be cut off at about 3,
yes, he's
2,
standing by his computer.
1. Yeah, exactly. Well, all good fun, folks.
With his bowl of Cheerios in front of him.
939-4513. I see more as a Fruit Loops guy myself.
Fruit Loops is possible.
Maybe
a
little Lucky Charms? Though it is Halloween season, maybe he has a little blueberry.
Well, what cereal box is giving away the little prizes these days? I think that one is the most suitable.
And a brand new miniature modem for Neil A. Shaw. Exactly. 201-939-4513. Brian's in Philadelphia. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up,
Brian? Well, Brian.
You know, I was watching Big Blue Hits, and you know that's the I've seen you plenty of times, John Schmelk, but. I never seen Lance, so I finally got a chance to put the voice to the face and everything.
Well,
so
Brian, here's a question.
Uh-oh.
Cool. After seeing Lance Meadow on camera, are you okay? Uh-huh. Were you mad? Did you manage to recover? Did you have to go see the eye doctor?
Nah, it's just finally putting a face to his voice. You know, I can't say too much. You know, I'm a guy, but he's a nice guy. He's a nice looking guy.
Okay,
you know?
Very good.
You guys talk about that. I love you guys. I mean, you guys.
We appreciate it,
appreciate that.
Job. You guys get to talk about the Giants and everything, so, and hear us. So, you know, I feel pretty good tonight. You know, after all this losing, I mean, come on, you kind of got to be optimistic. You know what I mean? After all this losing, I think that tonight is like one of them nights where we just play. We just have fun. We play hard. We just go all out because, come on, guys. I mean, mathematically and looking at our division, yes, we do got a shot. But Dallas is kind of playing pretty good. You know, not giving them too much props, but they're playing pretty good. Philly and Washington, RG3 is starting to look kind of scary. So if we're going to do something, I think tonight is the night. If we're going to go on this run, or if we're going to go on a run, it's got to start tonight. Because being 0-7, I mean, 0-6 is one thing. But, you know, one more game, I think we're done. I think we have to at least win at least 3 or 4 straight to kind of, like, be in the hunt. What you guys think? And one more last thing. How does Peyton Hillis look?
Well, Hillis has had limited work, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. I think that for the limited amount of time that he's gotten out there, they're confident that he can have – you know, a number of carries to make an impact. Right now, Brandon Jacobs is still a question mark, so Peyton Hillis may get more carries than initially anticipated because I don't think they're at the stage where they want Michael Cox playing all three downs. So I could see Michael Cox maybe getting some of the early down work. This is assuming Brandon Jacobs doesn't play, and then Peyton Hillis coming in on third down for extra protection since he's a veteran who understands the role that he needs to play as an extra offensive lineman. But for the limited work, I mean, I think the coaching staff has been fairly confident and pleased with what they've seen out of Peyton Hillis, and hopefully they can continue and build off of where the running game left off in the previous contest against the Chicago Bears. Because, listen, if you could take the pressure off of Eli Manning, you assume you will limit the turnovers. If they have to be one-dimensional and Manning needs to get back to throwing the ball 45 to 50 times tonight, I don't care whether you're going up against a top-5 defense or the 31st-ranked defense. That's not a recipe that you want to follow.
Right.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call,
pal. All right,
Brian,
thanks so much.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the Mid-Atlantic States. We got a bunch of fans down in, like, the D.C., Maryland area. We'll say hello to Jake. What's going on, Jake?
Oh, nah, it's Shakes, man.
Shakes in Baltimore. Wow, Dominic is rusty this morning.
Yeah. It
Shakes, I have not heard
from you. Yeah, we haven't
heard
from him for a while.
In about 2 weeks, my friend. Have you been in hibernation? Have you been hiding somewhere? Now, I was shocked that we didn't hear from you earlier in the week after you saw John Beeson. You've been waiting for a linebacker for a year
to show up and do what
John Beeson did last week, and finally he does something. Where's Shakes? There's no Shakes.
Yeah, Shakes, you don't have to chase after Aaron Curry anymore.
No,
you got
I know.
A new guy. This is great.
Look, y'all. Yes, that is a beautiful thing to see. A linebacker moving sideline to sideline, you know, chasing down people. He was terrorizing the whole offense by himself. I mean, Pacinger was giving him some help, but Beeson was killing. I'm telling you, his new name for me is John Beast. You know what I mean? He's just a beast. Every time I watched him in Carolina, he was a beast. I don't know why they poop-pooped and let him go. I don't know what they seen in Chase Blackburn that he was better than Beeson, but no. John Beeson is the man, and I was watching him, and I was like, finally, we got a linebacker. We have a linebacker. Are we going to keep him? Can we keep him?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, there's actually no reason the Giants can't keep him. I mean, they're going to have plenty of cap space next year. They'll be fine.
Okay, so, I mean, like, I'm talking about his contract thing. Like, is he on the lucrative years, or is this just a one-year thing, and then he's going to have to resign?
You know what? The Panthers reworked his contract, I believe, in the offseason. And 2 weeks ago, I did look it up, and I don't quite remember what his current contract is, Shakes. I'll look it up. What else do you got while you give us what else you got?
Well, yeah, anyway, I think that we're going to have a good game this game. I think we need to bounce back this game, and it's going to be a momentum swinger. I think that we are dying, but we're not dead yet. We are not dead yet. I think if we can, and be an optimist, I think that we can win a few games. I say, like, if we win the next three, okay, and maybe cough up one after that, but if we win another three and that kind of roll, I think we can possibly win a division if Dallas does what Dallas usually do. So I'm saying like this, we are down, but we're not out yet. So we can turn this all around. The defense looking good. Now that we got a linebacker, maybe we need to draft one next year. Hopefully we can draft the impact linebacker, keep Beeson and the other guys, and, yeah, that core will be fine. Offensive line needs a whole total rework, but that's next year. But like
well, it's
I said,
improved. Shakes, it's improved the last
optimist.
Few games. The offensive line is improved. Continue, Shakes. Didn't mean to cut you off. I was just saying the offensive line improved the last few games.
Oh, okay. Well, it improved last game with the run game, but it was still times where Eli was, you know, he had people in his face. You know what I mean? He don't really have that much time, but I did see an improvement in Pew because I was down on Pew. I was like, come on, we drafted this guy over Ogletree. Come on, man. But he showed something last week. I like him in the run game. I think he's a good run blocker. Think he needs more help on the pass. But all in all, we're fine. We just need to win tonight. Just win tonight. That's all we got to do right now. Just win tonight. And I'm going to try to call more. I've just been really, really down about these Giants. You know, I'm a hardcore Giant fan, so these Giants have got me down these past few weeks. Man, all season I've been upset. But I'm trying to turn that around. I want to see us win tonight, and I want to be happy when I call tomorrow. So go Big Blue. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Shakes. I appreciate it as always, my friend. Good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. And look, it looks like from what me and Lance can tell, Beeson did restructure his contract in the offseason, as we mentioned. He got his base salary down this year. But it looks like, as far as I can tell, his contract is going to void at some point in early February. So the Giants are probably going to have to sign him to a new deal. But I've also seen another report that says his base salary next year is going to be extremely high, so it might just make more sense for the Giants to cut him. So, honestly, I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are on Beeson's deal. I don't see anything, unless you found something,
well,
Lance, that you think
I
is
I found the breakdown of the initial deal. I don't know what was necessarily tweaked. I mean, he's scheduled to be a free agent under the deal in 2017.
Correct.
So, 2014, he's set to have a base salary of $6.5 million. 2015, $7.5 million. 2016, $8.75 million.
Right. But we don't know what the restructure Correct. Did to him at that point. Joel Corey, who's one of the better salary cap guys in the NFL doing the contracts, tweeted back on August 13th, Beeson could – now, this is what he tweeted, so I don't know where he gets this from. Beeson could use a bounce-back year because his deal voids on the fifth day of the 2014 waiver period, which is February 7th, 2014. So
there's usually built-in protections normally when they – give a big deal like that out.
Exactly. So we'll see what the Giants do with him. But if he continues to play, there's no reason the Giants aren't going to try to bring him back. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, fellow? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, listen. Hey, I'm feeling good today, man. I'm feeling a real sense of peace. I don't see any reason why we can't win this game today. I'm really looking for a huge game for Limbo Joseph today, guys. I think our defensive tackles are going to stay show off today. At least I'm hoping so. I had a couple questions for you guys. Number one is, how is JPP's health? What's going on with that? What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's just sick. It's a cold at this point. I mean, there's nothing wrong neck-wise, knee-wise, shoulder-wise. It's just a matter that he was a bit under the weather. So Tom Coughlin and company, they expect him to be full goal tonight.
Okay, great. Well, let's hope he can show off today. I think... Like a lot of us fans, I think, you know, this is going to be, obviously, it's going to be a turning, you know, we hope it'll be a turning point in our season. But, who knows? About Peyton Hillis, guys, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed that we're not going to feature Cox. I'm just, you know, it just bothers me, you know, to no end why we can't have Cox ready to be our featured back, you know, him being here so long.
Well, Steve, I don't mean to cut you off, but as I mentioned earlier, I think it was Brian who asked the question because he was asking how Peyton Hillis looked. I think their plan is, if Brandon Jacobs doesn't play, that Cox is probably going to get the majority of the first and second down carries, and they'll work in Hillis on third down for protection purposes. So don't assume that Michael Cox is not going to be used more often than not tonight. Because keep in mind, he knows a lot more of the playbook than Peyton Hillis does at this point.
Yeah, well, you know, for the sake of injury, I kind of didn't want to see him returning kicks, but I think the kid, I think he's really good on kickoffs, too. I'm really not sure why we've been using Jernigan over him. I mean, from what I've seen in the preseason, he was pretty explosive on kickoffs. So you guys have any idea why we hadn't been using him on kickoffs this far?
In terms of why they've been using Michael Cox, you're saying, on kickoffs?
Yeah, why they haven't been using him.
Well, I think it's part of the experience factor. That's what it comes down to. I think right now, especially with the fact that they've been hurting so much at running back, Steve, they need to preserve the one healthy running back that they have left. And at this point, that proved to be a good game plan because tonight he may be the one healthy running back that knows the playbook better than anybody else. So I think that's really what it came down to. It was a numbers game. It was a preservation game. Moving forward, assuming they get Brandon Jacobs back, Andre Brown comes back, then they'll allow Michael Cox, I think, to take a bigger role on kickoffs.
How far is Brown away from getting back on the field? You guys know?
Well, he can't return until the Oakland game, November 10th. Because normally you could come back after week 8, but the problem is the Giants are on bye week 9, so that's why he's not eligible to return till week 10.
Well, good. Well, he could probably use a little bit more rest. Hey, guys, you know, it was good to hear from Shakes, Lynn, Big Head. You know, we're holding down the DMV. I just wanted to tell those guys they can always come find lots of Giants fans on Facebook, Big Blue for Life. You know, we always get together in nice spots, so hopefully I'll look for those guys. Look, great show as always. You know, let's go. Let's get it started.
Thanks, Dave.
Big
all
Blue
right,
all
Steve.
The way. Thanks, guys. Have
you
a good
it.
One. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds
appreciate
good.
The call.
Steve's upbeat. Normally we get phone calls about Kevin Gilbride. He's down on the offense. I'm very impressed with the passion and the energy that Steve brought to the table this
I'm
morning.
Sensing a lot of optimism in general from Giants fans this morning.
Very
now, normally,
group.
I'd say that's the kiss of death, but quite frankly, I feel the same way. I think the first one's coming tonight. I really do.
And I echo those sentiments. Normally, heading into the majority of these games, there was some concerns, but
yep.
I actually feel really good about this game. I think this plays right into the hands of the Giants.
Then again, I also felt this way before the Panther game in week 3. I was a little worried, only because I knew the Panthers were going to be a little annoyed after getting blown out by the Giants last year on national football, national game on Thursday night. But
and that game was on the road, too. There were other things, I think, that played into the hands of Carolina more so than the Giants. This is a home game. This is Monday Night Football. You've had a long period of rest. You've improved progressively over the last two games. I think there's a lot more positives that you could point to about this team compared to them heading into that Carolina game.
I'll buy that. I'm with that, and I think the Vikings are probably a little bit of a weaker team than the Panthers are, too. 201-939-4513. Victor's down in Texas. Victor, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Victor.
Hey, good. You know what? I think Giants fans, well, I can speak for all Giants fans. I just speak for myself. I just think that, you know, we started out excited about it, and our pissed off here just went all the way around to 360. And we just, you know, we're excited about it again. We're optimistic. That's the way I feel about it. I mean, we really have nothing to lose right now. I just want the Giants to come out on Monday, and I want them to play not, you know, totally error-free ball, but I want them to play sound football. I want the guys to get in the hole. I want the plays to come out correct. I want Eli to be able to hit get the play in. Even the coaches get the plays in on time. So Eli is rushed at the last second. I don't want to have any turnovers. You know, turnovers can happen, but, you know, I don't want it to be that cause a turn. I don't want Eli throwing interceptions. Yeah, you might have a fumble or something like that or a tip ball, but don't let it be because of us. I want the offensive line to actually block. I mean, really, really get Eli comfortable in pocket. I want Reuben Randle to know what he's doing out there. I mean, these are all the things that, you know, a team should do. But, you know, this is a game. If the Giants don't do anything else, be sound playing football, tackle well. I watched a lot of games where guys are missing some tackles. I want these guys to go out there and tackle, be physical, get to the ball. I want to see gang tackling. That's what I'm not seeing about the, this defense. I see it on Dallas. I hate Dallas Cowboys. I see them. That defense is so aggressive. I just want to see aggressive tonight. I want us to play loose. I want to see aggressive guys. I want to see guys being happy that they're in the NFL, that they're out there playing their dream out right now. Because, you know, 0-7, man, that's the Jaguars. They're 0-7. I mean, I don't want us to be associated with Jaguars. You guys understand what I'm saying?
I hear you, Victor.
That is like the lowest of the low, guys. And you know what? I mean, this game is going to define the rest of our season. If it's going to go up or if it's going to continue on down. And I got two questions before I go, and I want you guys to, you know, answer as honestly as possible. I mean, okay, Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, they actually go to this camp and they go to their old QB coach in Duke, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't understand the difference of how Eli, and I watched Peyton last night. Peyton is not agile at all. But he's so much more comfortable in the pocket. And his offensive line wasn't that great. Do you see Eli being comfortable as Peyton in the pocket, or is it something with Eli's pocket presence? And the second thing is, there's a lot of injuries going on this year. What do you guys attribute that to?
Bad,
you know,
luck.
Is it something that, you know, yeah.
Well, but Victor, have there been any less injuries than in prior seasons? Let's be honest. This team,
well,
to me, feels
well, no,
like
I'm
it's always
like
been played.
ACLs. There's a lot of ACLs this year. I mean, I know there's ACLs that happens once or twice a year with some prominent players. It's like everybody's catching it. It's like, you know, these guys aren't practicing enough, or is it the turf? I mean, what's going on? Is it the way, you know, the NFL's changed the game and hitting? I don't know. It seems like a lot more injuries.
Well, you know, I think another factor, Victor, and appreciate the phone call, and maybe this is a stretch on my part, but now that everybody's got to play that Thursday game, you're talking about a lot of teams undergoing quick turnarounds, more so than we've seen in the past. Remember, it used to be the Thursday games on Thanksgiving, and then after Thanksgiving, you'd have maybe 4 or 5 weeks. Now, from week one all the way through week 17, everybody needs to be battle tested, and some teams have multiple quick turnarounds. Sometimes that puts a lot of stress on the body parts. Teams and players don't have enough time to recuperate and recover. Who knows? That could be a big contributing factor as to why we're seeing a lot of injuries.
Look, there are a lot of people more, you know, intelligent than me doing studies to figure out why these guys are injured more now than they used to. They train more than ever. Are they overtraining? Maybe. Is the speed of the game just such that guys are more likely to get hurt because guys are stronger and bigger? They hit legs break, it happens. Honestly, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I'm trying to remember what Victor's first question was. Ugh, shoot.
Well, he was talking about the fact that the linebackers and the defense needs to be a lot more aggressive in terms of their tackling because the Cowboys showed that against the Eagles. That was one of the points
that
he touched on.
That was one. I don't think that was his first question, though.
Was there a question? I thought it was more of a statement, to be honest with
Victor,
you.
Victor, if you had a first question, send it to us on Twitter, please. That's our bad. I'm sorry. Our attention span isn't what it should be this early on a Monday morning. Lance is worn out from his furniture shopping yesterday.
I was amazed with your modesty as you prefaced that last statement. There's a lot more people that are more intelligent than me. That was very kind of you.
Like doctors to offer. Doctors and medical professionals.
Oh, so now we're restricting the groups. My apologies.
No,
see, I was complimenting you at first.
Those are the people doing the studies. And yes, when it comes to injuries and stuff, yes, they're far more intelligent.
So only
there's
the
no,
doctors.
There's no question
One
about
segment
it.
Of the population has more intelligence.
People are experts in different things, lads. Obviously, medical professionals, all of them, are going to go know more about medical stuff than I am. Lawyers are going to go more about the law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I thought that maybe you were computing, you know, behind closed doors, your algorithms and all your mathematical equations, and perhaps you were doing a study that you were going to shed some light on.
Hey, look, I don't know about injuries. Heck, I know people, you know, the people I play basketball with on the weekend. Some guys just get hurt more than others. You know, the same guy is always the guy who twisted his ankle. He's your 10th guy. He can't play, and then you got to go home early.
So
this happens all the time.
The depth chart is hurting for this basketball team? Is that fair to say?
No, we're fine.
You're okay? Well, what's the record? I mean, how are we doing so far?
Our league team this year, I believe we're 2-2.
2-2? That's not necessarily an explosive start. Now, this is the team that I believe has plenty of hardware,
yes,
if I recall.
We have two championships.
So that's a slow start for some championship
caliber team. We actually traditionally start slow. In our 6 or 7 seasons, I think our record in first games of the year is something like 1-6 or 2-5. But then we only finish on the .500 once.
Well, then you follow the trend. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Exactly. So maybe the Giants can take a page out of the –
There you go. Look at this. We're building so many connections to all walks of life.
Are you done?
Yes, I think I'm done. For the time being, not necessarily for the rest of the show.
You know, you don't want to, you know, waste all your ammo this morning.
That's true.
You have a lot of more things. You have a lot of more time to talk on the air later on today, Mr. Meadow. 201-939-4513. Andrew is in Stanhope, New Jersey. What's going on, Andrew?
Your call screener said not to use a certain word, so I'll say took us.
Okay.
Or derriere and antro roll. He said the same thing. You guys said a couple days ago, yes, Eli's one of the greats in the fourth quarter, a wizard, but you can't always rely on the fourth quarter comeback.
Yep.
Antro roll said just instead of doing that, just blow their took us out. So I say blow them out. Just blow them out. We'll see David Painter in the fourth quarter, and that's it. Here's my Andrew Senior.
Okay, Andrew Senior.
Oh, yeah,
good morning.
Here.
Andrew
Senior,
how are you?
A couple things I want to say.
Go ahead.
Don Shula, when he was coaching, he said the healthiest team is the team that makes it to the Super Bowl, not the best team.
That's a good point.
Yes. And second, next year, I think Snee is finished. I think they're going to move Pew over.
They
to
could.
Guard, which I think is his natural position anyhow.
That's an option.
And they may win this year, but who knows? The shape they're in, I feel sad for the Giants and for the loyal fans. And thank you for taking our call.
Thank you, Andrew Jr. and Andrew Sr.
We haven't heard from both of them in a while. We only usually hear from the junior, not the senior, too. So that was nice.
That was like our own little version of the Double Mint Gum commercial.
And very smooth transition. The handoff between the phones.
There wasn't a lot of rattling.
The execution was right on key.
It's like the quarterback center exchange.
There you
go. Andrew Jr. and Andrew Sr. have a lot of experience.
Maybe they could teach this team something or two.
All right, we're going to take two more calls. We'll go through our picks, and we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Adam in Columbus, Ohio. He's on with Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. What's up, Adam?
Hey, morning, guys.
What's up, pal?
I was wondering what you thought about the chances. Living in Columbus, I get the Cleveland Browns shoved down my throat. So I saw a lot of Peyton Hillis back in the day.
Okay.
He seemed to catch the ball well out of the backfield.
He is a good receiver.
I knew he hadn't been there long, but the screen is something we've seen to set up well, just not execute, something we've wanted to have in our tool belt. You think they'll give him a shot going out in the flats or maybe running some screens at all? Or you think he's going to be exclusively protection and short yardage?
I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants have one or two failed screens to Peyton Hillis tonight.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked in that case either. I'd probably be more shocked if we had any successful screens.
Well, exactly. And you know what? And that's the thing. We've had issues with the running backs dropping passes, but we've also had setup issues where Eli doesn't sell it good enough. The offensive line doesn't block enough before they go after the screen. I mean, there's been all sorts of issues to go around. It's been the quarterback, O-line, and the running back on these screen plays. And it's been going on for years.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's all I got for you. Thanks for taking my call.
No, I appreciate it, Andrew. And I think they will try to use Hillis maybe a little bit. If they trust him in pass protection on third downs, they use him in terms of catching some balls out of the backfield.
Well, I think he has an edge over Michael Cox, even though he hasn't been here as long, because of the fact that he has a veteran presence. And as Adam just mentioned, he's got a lot of experience with the Cleveland Browns. That was when he had that 1,000-yard season.
There we go. Victor, give a second question. Eli and Peyton both train with the same quarterback coach. Why is Peyton's pocket presence better than Eli's? And you know what? This year, I think it is. And here's why. I think Eli started the year fine. We saw him make some great plays and show pocket presence to get the ball down
especially
the field.
Especially against Dallas.
He had that one great throw to Victor Cruz down the field. I don't know, was that in the Dallas game or was that one of the games
after
that?
Well, there were games in Dallas where he was seeing pressure and he was stepping up in the pocket to avoid the hit.
And here's the issue. You can have great pocket presence when you generally get good protection. So you're comfortable sliding left or right because you have confidence in even if one guy gets through, the rest of your offensive line doing a good job. And I think that's where Peyton Manning is. Even though they've lost Ryan Clady for the year, they have an offensive line where Peyton trusts, look, these guys are going to protect me. But look, when a quarterback like Eli goes through 4 weeks against Dallas, Denver, Carolina, and Kansas City, where they just get the crap beat out of him, and that's what happened. Eli got the you-know-what beat out of him for 4 weeks. When that happens, your head's going to be on a swivel. You're not going to be comfortable. And it's going to take a few weeks for Eli to find that comfort zone in the pocket once again. And I think that has to do more than anything else with the fact that Eli sometimes can look jittery in there because he's gotten hit so many times and the protection early in the year was so poor.
That's an interesting perspective. I haven't really thought that. It may have gotten to him mentally, so he's overthinking things.
Yeah, I think for sure.
I think that probably has built up over time, given that he's seen his fair share of pressure, and that may be why he's not as in a comfort zone as Peyton Manning. But Manning was rattled last night, I'll tell you that, and I think Victor did touch on that, because Manning doesn't usually see the pressure. So you could see why it is so imperative for the Giants to get their own pass rush going. Because even when you get hit, the top quarterback in the league, and Manning is playing at a much higher level than any other QB, all of a sudden you take him out of his comfort zone, and he's prone to mistakes. And that is the one missing element from this defense. If they could get to Freeman, they could fluster him. Who knows? Maybe the turnovers start to pile, and that has been something also that has been lacking. Just 7 takeaways for the Giants this season compared to 23 turnovers. This is a team that thrived on takeaways last season. They need to get back to that style of football.
Get him against the Vikings. Get a quarterback not used to the system. Get some takeaways. And by the way, Adrian Peterson has been known to fumble in the past as well. He has put the ball on the ground. JD is in Virginia. Final call of the show. JD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing well, JD.
Hey, as always, thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it, JD.
Thank you very much for the excellent show that you two produce.
Appreciate that.
Bottom line, last week the line looked a whole lot better. It was probably the best they looked the whole week.
Yes, sir.
I do know, if I'm correct, David Boss is supposed to be playing the center, correct?
He should be playing tonight. That is the plan. We'll see game time whether or not he and Corey Webster and Brandon Jacobs, for that matter, are active for the game.
Right. My question is this. With the improved play of Jim Cordell, because he did look like a little bit better than he did the previous game.
Yep.
Do you see them making a switch if they notice that David Boss basically doesn't play up to par?
If they believe David Boss's play,
if he doesn't play up to par, them switching back to to Jim Cordell, just because the line had a little bit more fluidity, a little more continuity as far as basically pushing the pocket, because that was the strongest I've seen that line look the whole season.
I believe if David Boss shows he's struggling a little bit and Eli Manning is getting hit a lot and Boss looks like an injury is still hampering his play, I think you could see Cordell get put back in there for him. I do.
All right. Well, listen, I want to just say once again, thank you very much for taking my call. And to all Big Blue faithful, stay up. This season's still young. We still got bigger and better things to do this season. So enjoy the show. Fellas, once again, thank you very much for taking my call. Have a good evening, y'all.
And thank you for calling in, JD. Big fan of JD. He's a good dude. Thanks for calling in. Go through some Twitter comments right here real quick. John Foster, if JPP is still sick, will we see more playing time for DeMontre Moore? We'd like to see him play a little bit more. That hamstring issue seemed to be better during the weekend practice, so I think there's a chance you might see DeMontre Moore a little bit on the defensive line in this game to try to get a pass rush going. And Tom Coughlin indicated after last week's game, look, we're not getting pressure. We got to try different things. We got to try new things, and maybe DeMontre Moore can be one of those things. Mike Farmer, this is in regards to John Beeson. Pretty stupid at 0-6 to trade a pick, even a late rounder for a guy if he won't be around next year. I really hope he stays. Well, let's see if he gets through the season, too. John Beeson hasn't exactly been the modicum of health in the NFL the last 3 seasons, and let's hope he can make it through the season playing every game.
Well, the other thing I was going to say to Mike is better you have a reason to keep a guy.
Right.
He's giving you incentive. Low risk, high reward at this point. I think he's giving them a taste of that. So if Beeson gives you a reason to bolster his contract or keep him around, then that means you at least made somewhat of a good decision.
John Foster, Peyton Manning won every week, and Eli lost every week before this week. Since Peyton lost yesterday, maybe this means Eli's going to win.
Breaks the trend.
Not a bad point. Jason Forbes, tired of trade talks. Come on, let's worry about the preseason issues in the preseason. I agree with you, Jason. I'm on board with that. Doug Borington, Eli needs to take this team on his shoulders and be a more vocal leader and a smart leader on the field and play smart ball. I'll go with the smart thing. Look, Eli's never going to be a rah-rah guy. That's just not what he is, and that's fine. Other guys can pick up the slack there. And then finally, Jason Forbes, Steelers showed some wildcat and read option yesterday. Did they really? I only saw the end of that game. I guess they did show some read option. Jason usually on top of stuff. Never thought that team would commit to it. Is it the wave of the future? No, I mean, the wildcat, certainly not. That was a big thing a couple years ago. That's already been kind of phased out. And I think you're seeing the read option used a little bit this year. But you need the right quarterback. You need the right running back. I still think the way you win in this league is with a pocket passer that can make throws down the field. I still think that's how you win in this league. I really do.
But there are teams that have had success when they get a little creative. And I think part of why the Steelers have implemented that is because their offensive line play has not been very good. So they're looking for ways to combat that. And they have a nucleus of about three or four different running backs. So they're just trying to differentiate their scheme at this point. I don't know whether it's going to bring them a great deal of success. But Pittsburgh has now won two in a row. And it was a big win over Baltimore, a team that they usually play close after they've had some trouble during the early going of the season. So who knows? You know, maybe the Steelers are the type of team that'll be able to regroup. They've got a veteran defense. But I think right now, if you bring it back to the Giants' perspective, if they could get that one win, perhaps, and I'm not trying to get Giants fans too optimistic, but given the quarterback situation in Philly right now, and this is why momentum is so important, you win tonight. Who knows who the Eagles throw out as quarterback? Michael Vick's still a question mark, even though signs are pointing that he'll try to force his way back because Nick Foles has the head injury.
Well, Foles could be playing next week, too.
True.
He could be back. It didn't seem like a very serious concussion. I realize all concussions are serious, but it wasn't a deal where he was, like, out on his feet.
But that may open the door for an opportunity for the Giants. That's why you get this win, a quick turnaround, you head into the bye. You got something to at least click and be positive for the week that you have off.
I was debating whether or not to take another call here, and I had Dave see who was the guy that was ringing in. I assumed it was going to be Dave in Rochester because he likes to close out some shows. I thought maybe he would give us a preview of what Paul Dottino will be doing on Monday afternoon before a football game. I thought it would be entertaining. And no offense to Dave, but I'm even more excited to hear from this guy, Vinny in Pennsylvania. Vinny, what's going on, pal?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Vin?
Chilling, bro. Of course, I had a call in, you know, Monday here. I've been listening, and I figured I'd do a little something for you, bro.
Oh, you got something for us.
Look at this.
Look, I always want to write more, but it's like, you know, there's only so much time in the show, and I didn't have time to work on it this week.
Well, Vinny, you're on tour, right? I mean, being a DJ in this day and age, it's big demands, right? Red carpet treatment, autographs, it's a lot.
None of that. Like, I'm just a background guy, but I have toured before for... Under Armour, I don't want to, like, name drop, but, yeah, I've been around the country several times. I'm a lucky person, and I feel very grateful every day I wake up. But I have my struggles, man, just like you guys. I mean, I think we have a similar lifestyle. I just want to stay on broadcasting and things like that. So, you know, I just try to get up and...
Well, John can't relate to that, Vinny.
Vinny, let me tell you one thing. You don't want to know about Lance's lifestyle, and you don't know about Lance's lifestyle. It is very, very scary.
Is it? I don't know. Lance, you seem like a chill. You guys seem like some chill guys, so.
From time to time.
Did you get your furniture, bro? Did you get some?
We did make progress this weekend, Vinny. We made a lot of progress.
What did you purchase?
Well, we've got the dresser. We have a coffee table, two couches. Got some kitchen appliances, TV.
Wow.
We got a little of everything.
Where are you getting this money? I know I'm not paying you enough to buy all that stuff.
We got some trees in the backyard. They're producing. I'll tell you that.
John, that's what happens when you go when you're like the man on Sirius Radio, bro, and you keep your hair slick.
There
like
you
that,
go.
Right?
See, See, Vinny knows the key. There you go, Vinny.
You know you can have.
You gotta teach John a lesson. We're gonna have a seminar.
By the way, I believe in the official the man totem pole on Sirius. I'm quite sure Lance is in the bottom tenth of that poll. Just saying.
Well, we try to keep our head above water.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
I'm going to stay in both, guys. I know what it's like. All right,
thanks,
I got
Vinny.
Something for you. Ready?
All right, here we go.
All right. I have a Keno flow, but I keep it classy like Paul Dottino, bro. Giants need to step up like some pros, make some throws, and maybe we can celebrate on the post-game show. Trust me, man in the cruise, every bomb helps. But watching these games got me pulling more hair out of my head than John Schmelz. I told you that. This season, the linebackers have been barely breathing. That's why I'm glad Coughlin had a reason to bring in John Beeson. All right, I'm out, though, fellas. Take it easy.
All right, that was a good
one. Nice.
I liked it. You know, the last rhyme was the best. It was a good one.
Yes. Anytime he can reference you in there, you know, it takes it to a whole other level.
I requested that last time. It was
and he got a Dottino reference in there, too.
It was very
it's
good.
Nice that we don't have to always
very
turn
good.
To Dave from Rochester.
Pulling
to
more
get
hair
Dottino
out of his
reference.
Head
there
than
you
John Schmelk. I like that. That's pretty good. That was good. I like it. I'm more excited about your furniture.
Well,
you made a lot
we'll
of
provide
purchases.
Some update. We did.
Now,
we did make some progress.
Where'd you buy the appliances? I didn't realize you were appliance shopping, too.
Yes. Well, we had we went to a little IKEA.
Okay.
Had a little of that. Kohl's. Okay. Know, Crate and Barrel. Yeah.
Oh, Crate and Barrel. Yeah, you went high end for some of your stuff,
there's
huh?
Number of places.
Very good.
It makes yeah.
The Giants don't have an official home appliance store, so I think
yes,
we can
I
talk
know.
About this and not get into trouble, right? Well, Bob's is our official furniture store, and Bob's does an excellent job.
Correct.
We love Bob. That's why I asked about the appliances. I didn't ask about the furniture. We were talking appliances. Bob's
strictly
is our
appliances.
Official furniture store. He
we
does
will not name any stores.
Bob's
about furniture.
Does an excellent job, and I know Lance did go to Bob's, and he did have
absolutely.
Some action at Bob's, and they do an excellent job. We love Bob's here on Giants.com. Sponsors our roster page. Go to the roster page on Giants. I'm going to say hello to Bob. A little claymation Bob going on.
The backpedaling that's going on this show this morning is just tremendous.
No backpedaling.
You covered all your tracks. I'm just happy you threw that in there.
Now, when is this stuff getting delivered? This is what I want to know.
Well, later this month.
How long do you have to wait?
About a week and a half.
Oh, that's not bad.
You ready to roll?
No, sometimes it takes a long time for these people to turn
stuff
around.
Everything timed out with the bye week.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I wasn't going to do it while I'm tied up with all types of other assignments.
So it's
Giants
only
going
to show
up
between, the, like, between, like, around.
You do the math. There you go.
All right. I like it.
I mean, clearly people at home are keeping notes in their diaries and notebooks because this is such an important development.
People have been asking about your lifestyle, what you do, and I'm just trying to give them a taste of what it's like to be Lance Meadow.
Yeah, we should be fully settled in by the end of this month.
Do you have the picks?
I have the picks. I actually just finished tallying the numbers.
Oh, well done.
Not a good week overall.
Probably everyone around 500, right, give or take?
Well, you were the one exception, which just continues to pain me.
What? I was 3-3, right?
No, you were 4-2.
Was I 4-2?
Yes, look at this. The pleasant surprise. So
I
was Dan
surprised. Salomo. Let me see. Dallas
Bold, keep in mind, is correct.
Oh, this. Cincinnati. That's where I got the win. Oh, you know what? I thought I had gotten my wild card game wrong. I actually got my wild card game right. 4-2. Wow. And Lance at 2-4. Nilay 1-5. That's a rough one. And me and Danny at 4-2. And, I guess you never got that email from
Anita
Marks.
We go to 0-6 next week. It went from 2-4 for not giving in your picks last week to now 1-5. If she pulls it again, 0-6.
And
it's the new rules in place.
And after 0-6, if she doesn't do it again, is that just ejection from the contest?
Well, no, it continually goes to 0-6. Just for the sake of it. Just for the hell of it. Kicks and giggles, as I like to say. But believe it or not, despite that, she actually is in second to last place because
Nilay
has not done too well for himself. See, he did one for – he was 1-5, and he actually gave in his picks.
Yeah, yeah.
So that just goes to show you his struggles.
Right, very good. So what's the overall standings right
so
now?
So DiTino went 3-3. He's still in first place. He's a game ahead of Dan.
What's his record overall?
He's 28-15.
Okay.
Dan Salamone, 27-16, and you can check out Dan's work on Giants.com.
Great
job. One of
our
top writers, exactly.
Best beard in the organization, by the way.
Absolutely.
I think that's fair to say, right? I don't think anybody has a better beard than Salamone. Maybe some of the players do. I think of staff and front office personnel.
Yeah, you get that.
I think Salamone has the best beard.
You get that lumberjack in the mix.
Yeah,
I think he fits that role perfectly.
I agree.
And then you, remarkably, have pulled a 180 and have now upped into a tie with me.
Ooh.
At third place. We're 2 games out of first.
So the yearly Lance October-November swoon has
oh
begun.
Oh, boy, has it hit hard. It always happens. We're coming back down to earth. We got off to such a good start and then just fades away.
Well, we only had one game different this week, right, in our picks?
Well, I picked Chicago. You picked Washington.
Oh, okay.
So that differed
and
us.
We
all picked Denver.
What was your wild card game?
My wild card, I had New England over the Jets. I mean, they had a lead in that contest. What a bad job by the Patriots, by the way.
I can tell you're irritated by it.
I mean, it's not necessarily that I'm pulling for New England. It's just I hate when teams just let things slip away. And the Jets' defense is good, don't get me wrong. But I hate when teams have double-digit leads, they're in the comfort zone, and they just can't lay down the hammer and put teams away.
Hey, well, Gronkowski almost came down with that one-handed catch.
Yeah.
That could have been a big
game. He actually was very
changer.
Productive in his first game back.
You think Brady was happy to have him out? I should trust somebody
that
can catch the football? Very happy. I think those injuries on defense might catch up to New England a little bit, too, to be honest.
Oh,
with you.
You lose Vince Wilfork, Aqib Talib is
Mayo.
Hurting. Yeah, it's a lot. Even good teams don't have that type of depth. So it's bound to come back to haunt them at one point. But I'd still say New England's offense is good enough to win that division.
All right.
Miami's also come back down to earth, by the way. I thought this was going to be a turnaround season for the Dolphins. Bad loss to the Bills. Ryan Tannehill, interception return for a touchdown. Red zone struggles. It's a problem.
Yeah. Well, you were high in the Dolphins earlier.
I was.
Year, right?
I thought that they would be in contention for a wild card.
But you bailed.
Well, I mean, it's not looking too good. You got to beat your divisional rivals. You can't lose to the Bills. Lance, I mean, you could split with the Bills, but you can't get swept here.
Lance is not going to be the guy in the band playing the violin as the Titanic goes down. He's on the first lifeboat off. By himself, by the way. He didn't let anybody else in. He's in my lifeboat.
Well, there's one door that's opened. Houston, having a down year, I think has opened the door for another wild card team.
Well, the Jets, I believe, would be the second wild card team if the playoffs
I believe
today.
The Jets are in the playoff picture.
They're tied for the second wild card, but I believe by tiebreakers they would be in the playoffs this morning if the playoffs start today, which means absolutely nothing, mind you, but there you go.
Well, to me, this AFC is wide open.
Here's the question. A couple questions for you. How many teams do you think come out of the AFC West? Two? Or do you think three?
I'd say two.
You don't think the Chargers
I think
have
San
a
Diego
to make
borderline.
A move?
I don't know about that.
All right, so where does the second wild card team come out of then? You figure the Colts are pretty safe to win the AFC South at this point. AFC North, that's still kind of a question mark. We don't know what's going to come out of there. Maybe Baltimore, maybe Cincinnati.
Well, I think the Bengals will win the division, and then it will come down to Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
Well, the Bengals better win the division considering they're a Super Bowl pick.
Correct. Well, big win over the Lions. It's not been easy. A lot of these close games, but they're winning these close games.
And the Falcons got a nice win for you. By the way, the fact we haven't mentioned Harry Douglas yet today.
Oh, boy. How did we do? And Mike Farmer tweeted us, by the way, yesterday, saying that he hoped everybody started him.
Everyone should listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
We told you.
Big game out of Harry Douglas.
You take Roddy White out of the equation. You take Julio Jones out of the equation. That is an opportunity for Harry Douglas to thrive, and he took full advantage of that.
7-149 and a touchdown.
And Jaquizz Rodgers with a big game.
He did.
Helped the fantasy team.
Oh, did he? How did your fantasy team do this week, by the way?
Well, I'm riding on the Giants tonight in two separate leagues. I need Victor Cruz to come through for me. He needs to give me 15.1 points.
Ooh, you better hope the Vikings don't double-team him all game.
Well, even with double teams, Cruz has managed to fight his way out of that.
Is that a point per reception?
Well, it's our league.
That's our league.
So
okay.
It's a PPR.
I wasn't sure if that was
correct.
That
then
was the
other
one.
League, down by 21 with Eli Manning.
How many times has he scored 21 points this year?
Well, he had, 40 in that league when he played against the Cowboys. Since then,
not so much.
Hasn't been too good. Right. However, if you look at the amount of points that quarterbacks are putting up against the Vikings, it's pretty good. That's around the average. Cam had about 40.
If you show up tomorrow morning dreary and tired and you have one of two of those fantasy wins, would you take that if I offered that to you now?
If I had one of the two?
Yes.
Yes, I would take that. But come on. I mean, I'm going to try to ride it out and get
two victories.
No, I understand.
I was curious to see how confident you were. Clearly, you're not that confident if you're
No, I feel pretty good. I feel better about the Victor Cruz situation.
Of course. You have to score less points.
Yeah. And the fact that it's a PPR league, you figure that that bodes well. The Manning, listen, based on his recent track record, it hasn't been too good. But this is a game that's very attractive on paper. So you would hope that he can bounce out of that slump and start to put up some quality numbers. You, unfortunately, which you're avoiding the topic about your fantasy.
I'm not avoiding anything.
Struggles this weekend.
I had a bad week this week. What can I tell you?
It's been rough.
I started Nick Foles against the poorest Cowboy defense. Gave me absolutely nothing. How strange was that game, by the way? I figured that'd be a 38-31 type of ball game, and it's 3-0 at halftime.
Well, and a couple of callers have voiced the fact that Dallas is starting to click, and also Washington, two teams that got victories yesterday. And the Cowboys' defense may get the title of what we use with the Giants, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because they went from getting beat up by the Broncos.
51 points.
And then all of a sudden now they shut down. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, and then they shut down an Eagles offense, which we know can put up points.
Yeah, and Nick Foles had a great week last week. I picked him up.
Bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
Killed my fantasy team starting that guy.
And that Redskins game, 45-41, offensive clinic.
Yeah, let's not give the Redskins too much credit for winning that game. No Jay Cutler for a half, and they still barely came out with a win by the skin of
their
teeth.
Well, the Redskins defense struggles.
I have a big issue with Mike Shanahan. Big issue with Mike Shanahan. Why is Alfred Morris being taken out on the goal line now?
That is
for
a great point.
Jr.?
That is a great
point. Why is this happening? He's a big bruising running back. He's like 235 pounds. And you're bringing in Roy Helu for Alfred Morris on the goal line? What's happening here?
Selfishly.
What does Mike Shanahan have against, and he did it in Denver too, switching running backs all the time. He switched running backs all the time in Washington, killing Alfred Morris owners all over football. That's all I'm saying.
As an Alfred Morris owner in two leagues, I think I can speak on his behalf.
What the heck?
I have some beef with Mike Shanahan as well.
Why Roy Helu?
And Morris was getting goal line carries earlier in the season. And as you mentioned, he's the bigger bruiser between the two running backs.
Last year, he had double-digit touchdowns. He was great on the goal line.
And it wasn't if he got hurt. He got 19 carries. He had more carries than any other running back.
How many carries did Helu Jr. even
Helu
have?
Helu had 11 for just over 40, but he had 3 touchdowns.
I mean,
so he is what we call in fantasy the vulture.
He is the vulture.
That's inexcusable. Mike Shanahan should hold a press conference later today to explain himself to all fantasy owners. I think he owes that to everybody.
To every Alfred Morris
that
owner,
is struggling
certainly.
This morning trying to make sense of Roy Helu stealing 3 Alfred Morris touchdowns.
For no reason. It's one thing, like in Tennessee. Chris Johnson has never been a good goal line back. He's a smaller guy. He's a speed guy. You don't like it if you own Chris Johnson, but you knew going in that he was going to have some touchdowns taken from him. You live with that. You don't live with this because this is a blind side right here. It's a blind side.
Well, that's what he has to – you know what Alfred Morris has to do? He has to follow the school of thought that the Jaquizz Rodgers did yesterday. Catch the passes from about 10 yards out. Make sure you get in so you don't lose the goal line carries to Jason Snelling.
And that's the thing. You know, Alfred Morris, from a fantasy perspective, has been disappointing this year. But if you look like it is yard, he's averaging over 4.5 yards per carry.
Well, he's getting carries. He's getting yards. Like you said, the problem is that the money stat in fantasy is you got to get in the end zone. And he's just not necessarily doing that consistently because now he has Roy Helu to be concerned
with. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Alfred Morris only has 1 touchdown this year, and I'm going to check it right now. But just based on recollection, Alfred Morris this year has actually he has 3, which is more than I thought. But he's averaging 5.2 yards per carry, which is excellent.
Well, he was a solid runner last season. They have a good offensive line.
Better than solid. He had 1,400 yards last year.
Well, I wasn't going to put him up on a pedestal. You wanted to put him up on a pedestal. We could put him up on a pedestal. But he was a quality running back, and they have a very good running scheme, as we know, dating back to Mike Shanahan's days with the Broncos. The bottom line is it's unusual, the strategy that they're following
season. I think they're trying to limit his carries a little bit, too. Listen to his carry numbers this year. 12, 13, 15, 16, 16, and 19.
Well, keep in mind, one game he got hurt with the rib injury.
True, but last year, listen, just the last... 1, 2, 3,
he's getting about 20 games.
Last 7 games of the season, all right? 20, 24, 22, 23, 27, 22, 33.
Trying to preserve him for the final stretch, possibly. It's possible.
I mean, even early in the season, 28 week 1, 16, 17, 21, 18, 16, 22. I mean, come on.
Well, I would think that you'd want to mix it up just to give the defense a different look. Sometimes if you mix and match the personnel, you can catch them off guard. That's why I would mix it in. I mean, putting the fantasy implications aside, just to catch the defense off guard, it makes sense.
Of course, I understand that. You want to preserve Alfred Morris. He's a very good running back, and I get that. But there's no reason to be giving away his goal line carries here.
I don't like it either. I think we at least share that.
Let me tell you, anything else interesting in the league yesterday before we say goodbye that we can touch on?
Take a quick glance once again at the scores. Kansas City, by the way, had a very hard time with Houston. Case Keenum actually did quite well against a very stingy Kansas City defense.
Yeah, and I'm in one knockout pool where I'm still alive in. Thank goodness I didn't listen to your advice last week, by the way. I would have been out.
What was the advice?
Miami over Buffalo.
That's what I advised you?
I believe that's correct.
I thought Dolphins off a bye going up against the Bills team that's banged up, starting Thad Lewis. I don't think that was too much of a stretch to think that they could win. Not necessarily by a landslide, but win.
I went Packers, so survived. But a lot of people, what I was going with that is a lot of people had the Chiefs yesterday.
Oh, they sweated that one out.
Yes, they did. No question about it. We talked about the Falcons and Bucks a little bit. Dolphins, Bills we touched on. Bears, Redskins we touched on. Jaguars, I thought they would maybe had a chance to go into the host San Diego to maybe get a win in that game. Boy, they were bad. And Henny, look at his numbers, 23 for 36, 318, but they only scored 6 points. Maurice Jones-Drew only 9 carries for 37 yards, another fantasy bust this year. Maurice Jones-Drew, obviously Sam Bradford, we talked about the knee injury, very sad. Kellen Clemens looks like will now be the starting quarterback for the St. Louis Rams.
And they're going to bring in a few quarterbacks, I know, to try out the next couple of days. There's even been speculation and rumors that Tim Tebow enter the conversation there.
Jeez.
Yep, just when you thought you weren't going to hear the last of him. And speaking of the Packers real quickly, who you mentioned you relied on, Jermichael Finley, the latest injury. They've lost Randall Cobb.
What happened to Finley?
Finley was carted off a neck injury, and there was a report this morning that he was still in the ICU. So hopefully it's not as bad as at least it appears, but it was a pretty scary helmet-to-helmet hit, and then he went down.
No question about it. The Niners with a handle win over Tennessee, 31-17. All 17 Titan points coming in that fourth quarter. So... good day of football. A lot of close games, actually. Not a lot of blowouts yesterday. And, of course, the night game we talked about earlier very briefly. The Colts pass rush really gave Peyton Manning a lot of issues in that game.
Robert Mathis, Peyton Manning's former teammate, got a big hit. He coughed up the football. They got a safety off of that. Another deflection for an interception. They were in his face constantly.
I didn't see any of the pregame ceremony, did you?
Did not have a chance. I had recorded the highlights of the pregame ceremony. I was going to take a glance at that when I get a free moment.
I haven't seen it either.
Supposedly, from what I read about, it was, you know, very emotional. They gave him a standing ovation, and he tried to at least patch things up with Jim Irsay, who was very vocal on Twitter this morning, I saw.
Oh, was he?
Rubbing it into the fans who were giving it to him for some of those comments he made to USA Today, which I didn't think were that bad. Because as I pointed out early this week, if you read that entire article, I think it was about two pages, he does bring up that he felt the Colts should have won more Super Bowls, and let's be honest.
They probably should have.
That's a fair point. But he was also very complimentary of Manning, I thought, through the duration of that article. They just took that one quote out of context. You know, the media runs away with it.
Never.
Yes, no, that never happens.
No.
Clearly. It's a rare occurrence.
Context? What's context?
So he was happy that clearly his team knocked off the Broncos and was at least fighting back to the haters and critics on Twitter. So that will be something to monitor over the next few days.
One key tonight, Lance. Give it to me.
Protect the football. I don't care about Adrian Peterson and the Vikings offense. It's not that, when I say I don't care, it's not that I'm saying it's not important for the Giants to make defensive stops. But what has been the key trend the last few games? They've been in contest in the third and fourth quarter. It's one turnover after another. How about having a clean game? Is that too much to ask?
I'm with you.
Have a clean game.
I can throw a take of the ball away there, too. How about that?
Well, that could certainly set up the offense and give them favorable field position. But right now, I think the offense needs to concern itself with not shooting itself in the foot.
Well, so I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go take the ball away. The defense has not been able to really force turnovers this year. And generally, when this defense forces turnovers, the Giants win football games, force a turnover, get a W. Tonight, the Giants game day pregame show is on WFAN 660 and FM, of course, as well, 101.9. You can check that out tonight at 7:10 with an 8:40 kick. Lance Meadow, myself, Paul Dottino, and Jeff Beagles will have all the pregame coverage to do as well, a special Boomer and Carton pregame show as well from 6:30 to 7:10 on WFAN as well. You can check that out. And then Lance, myself, Bob Pop, and Carl Banks will be with you on the postgame show. We'll have all the comments in the locker room and a lot of analysis from Bob and Carl on the postgame show.
And we should mention, for those of you outside of the New York area, you can hear it all on Giants.com.
You can, of course. And if you want to stop by the pregame stage where Lance will be doing the pregame show with that cast of characters, it is outside the MetLife Gate at Giants Stadium. Actually, it's by the West VIP gate, I guess would be the best description of that. So head out there, say hello. We'll be happy to see you. Lance loves taking pictures. He signs autographs. He kisses babies.
Well, not at the rate that you've been setting the tone with.
Well, you can only aspire to so much.
Correct. I can only reach so high.
Exactly. Well, you're a small guy.
That's correct. Well, sense. I look up at most people, so it's nothing new.
Lance, enjoy. We'll see you tonight. Take a little nap this afternoon. I want to see you in good spirits for tonight's action.
We got to preserve the energy, and we'll be back tomorrow morning taking everybody's phone calls.
Reaction, and maybe we can have our first happy morning show of the year. We look forward to it. We'll see you tomorrow morning, guys. Have a great one. Enjoy the game tonight.